Right now, we're sitting in my audio closet, and Nato, my cat, who often tramples on tape while I'm recording in my closet because she's on the outside of the door meowing. She was meowing, and we let her in so she would be quiet, and she was, but now she's trying to get out. So,
And she's pushing her face into the acoustical foam. All right, goodbye.
Nato, if you leave, you can't be loud. Go. Go forth.
She'll go.
Hello, it's future Hillary. This is a conversation between me and my boyfriend TJ.
Describe our first date.
As far as our first date, like,
What you consider the first
well,
date.
the first time we spent time together when it was clear that we were both romantically interested in each other, if that's our first date, then we went to dinner at Nam Phong.
Why did we meet at Nam Phong?
Well, you had emailed me in a hilarious middle school move. You had emailed me and you were just like, "Hey guy, I like you," like in a romantic manner. And you were like, "If you're not into it, that's fine, but I just wanted to, get this one out in the open." And I remember I read the email and I was like, "Oh shit, okay." I was like, I've had like figuring sorting this out on hold, and I was like, "Okay, well, I need to sort this out now." And I was like, "Yeah, no, I totally like this person in a romantic manner." So I wrote you back and I was like, "Yeah, no, I have romantic feelings for you as well." So when do you remember our first date being?
Our first date, we made plans for a Sunday. Are you crying?
No. Just
How
let
is
her
this
in.
podcast ever gonna happen?
Nato continued to come in and out of the closet as we
We
talked.
went on an afternoon bike ride, but you said you had to be somewhere by like 5 or something, and that you couldn't meet up till like 1. So we went riding in the Wissahickon. It was very gravelly, and I'm not used to those gravelly roads. I like the
We didn't go on the gravel part. We
Yes,
went,
we
no, we didn't.
did.
We did not go up Forbidden Drive because we stopped at that little gatehouse where we saw Chip Chantry, and the gravel doesn't start until
Okay.
up the hill from that
Okay,
gatehouse.
first
We
of
did
all, you
not
just
touch
spoiled
gravel.
part of the story. Also, can you describe what you were doing to try to interrupt my story? What physical move
Was
did you
biting my
just
knuckle because it was killing me because we didn't even go near the gravel.
Okay, but this is, you let everybody share their version of the story. This is why I interview people separately for the actual podcast. I think my internal monologue, I'm not joking. I was just like, this is not a date. I thought this was a date, but I don't think this guy is like making this a date. He's just being regular. And then, as I was thinking that, and as we were talking, coming towards us is this man, Chip Chantry. He was walking towards us because he lives in that area and was walking his dog. And in my head, I was like, oh my God, Chip Chantry is going to like tell everyone that we're on a date. And he thinks that this is a date, but TJ doesn't think this is a date, but I think it's a date. This is awkward. That's what I consider our first real date.
In my defense,
Yeah, say whatever you want to say. That's fine.
throughout my adult life, I have friends who are women who there's never been anything romantic between me and them. I've gone on bike rides with these people. Like it wasn't it. Like the idea of going on a bike ride with a woman in a non-romantic way seemed totally regular to me.
Even if I wasn't really that much of a friend yet, we weren't like hanging out all the time.
I mean, it occurred to me. I was like, "Oh, it's possible that this person is romantically interested in me," but I didn't like assume that you were. Also, you were putting off zero vibes.
What would the
I
vibes have looked like to you?
don't know.
Because I felt like I was throwing them out into the world.
I don't know. I mean, not like
I told friends of yours that I liked you.
I mean, that's I don't know.
No, I be honest, say what are the vibes?
That's the other thing too, where like we went on this bike ride, beautiful bike ride through the woods, but I find myself in beautiful romantic settings with my friends kind of a lot. It happens all the time. Like that also wasn't totally out of the ordinary that I would be in a platonic situation in a very, very beautiful and romantic place. Yeah, I didn't think what we were doing was a date. Yeah, no, I'm sorry about that.
And our Nam Phong story is identical, so I don't really have much. I agree with your Nam Phong story. I remember when we go there, I can like roughly imagine where we were
Yeah, I
sitting.
remember where we were sitting.
And
I was
then,
facing south and you were facing north.
and I probably got number 173, which is the shrimp and rice vermicelli. Or if I didn't get that, I would have gotten the one with the veggie spring rolls, because those are the only two things I get at Nam Phong. To close this interview, do you feel like our stories of when we first met, liked each other, and got together are that different from one another?
They're different in that, like, there's different timelines of, like, when romantic feelings began, you know? But it's not like, when I hear your side of it, I'm not like, no, that's not how I remember it. You know what I mean? Like, up to a point, we were having different experiences. So I think our recollections of our individual experiences seem pretty on the nose, you know? I just remember my side of it.
My wooing period was just slightly longer than your wooing period.
You're listening to Rashomon, a podcast where one family tells every side of the same story. I'm Hillary Ray, your host. For this episode, I wanted to talk to TJ about the story of our first date, to see where our memories diverged and converged, and to celebrate the moments when you meet someone and fall in love with them for the first time, like Jackie and Stu.
I'm Jackie Cohen, and I'm a clinical social worker. I'm a psychotherapist.
I'm Stu Cohen. I'm a psychologist. You know, I'm married to Jackie. We have two children and three grandchildren.
And how many years have you been married?
A long time.
Okay. You don't have to say.
A really long time.
Okay. And how long have you been a psychologist?
Very long. Longer than most people have been alive.
In their clinical practice, Jackie and Stu have come across the concept of the Rashomon effect. What is this word, Rashomon? It's a Japanese word and a title of a short story from 1922. It was adapted into a movie in 1950 by filmmaker Akira Kurosawa and went on to win an award at the 1951 Venice Film Festival and then an Oscar for Best Picture. In the 2016 Canadian Journal of Communication, scholar Robert Anderson writes about the origins of the Rashomon effect. He traces the storytelling techniques embedded in the film and how they play out in real life. He writes, "The Rashomon effect is a combination of a difference of perspective and equally plausible accounts, with the absence of evidence to elevate one above others, with the inability to disqualify any particular version of the truth, all surrounded by the social pressure for closure on the question." Jackie and Stu both deal with the Rashomon effect when working with their therapy clients.
It's just that people have different experiences. They just have different experiences of the same event, and that's often what causes a fight.
Although they never talk about the specifics of their clients, there's enough of a behavioral pattern to share a generalized view.
So my job is to help people come together and understand each other and what stops them from being able to hear the other person. So whatever the, quote, truth is, it's not the goal. It's not the issue.
It's not my job to search for truth as it is to help people feel better. And I don't mean I'm compromising the truth to help them feel better. I'm just focused on how people feel and what's going on in their thoughts and their emotions and their reactions.
Jackie's Aunt Rita is only 10 years older than her, and because of this, they're more like sisters. When Jackie was in college, Rita did something that would change their lives forever. And Rita has always accused Jackie of having a faulty memory about this.
We seem to have a different experience of how it all happened, yeah.
Well, Jackie is totally wrong. I am the repository of the memories. And it happened the way I said, not the way she said.
Jackie grew up in Ohio in a time well before internet dating, text messages, emojis, and sliding into someone's DMs. Instead of swiping right or left, men kept track of potential dates using a little black book. People were more inclined to meet at family socials or through mutual acquaintances.
So I was home for the holidays, and one morning she woke me up, and she didn't say, "Hi, this is Rita." The phone rang, I picked it up, and she said, "Okay, I met the boy you're going to marry."
Here's Rita.
"I was very impressed with Sue. He was tall and charming and had the gentlest sound to his voice. I was just captivated by him. And then when I came home, I called Jackie. She was home on vacation. And she said, "Well, give him my telephone number." And I kind of hemmed and hawed about it a little bit. She really kind of encouraged me to do this.
And I said, that's just totally ridiculous. I'm in college. And I was sleeping, actually, when she called. And I was about to hang up. And she said, no, please, please, you have to listen to me. If he calls you, you have to go out with him. Promise me. And she kept on. And I said, okay.
Rita met Stu at a family gathering called the Cousins Club Reunion.
And there I was talking with Jackie's aunt, who was married to my cousin. And she virtually begged me to call her up and ask her out. And, New Year's Eve was approaching, and I wasn't with anybody at the time, so I gladly took her recommendation.
I think it was later that day I got a call. Did I want to go on a coffee date? And I said, okay. I really felt I had no choice.
I feel that I tried encouraging her to go out with him, that I wanted to fix them up, and Jackie was sort of, no, I don't want a blind date, which isn't at all true. She did want to meet him because I told her so much about him. And then, of course, I went back and told him so much about her.
There was an obvious, instantaneous connection, and that we liked each other and we were interested in each other and had fun talking with each other.
I remember sitting across from him thinking, he's different than anybody I have ever met. All I can tell you is this image I have of sitting across from him, I remember the restaurant, and we were talking about psychology. He seemed to have so much more depth and interest to me than anybody, any boy that I'd ever met. I really just sat there and thought, I'll be marrying him. And I went home, and I walked into my parents' bedroom, and I said, Rita was right, I will be marrying him. And I went to bed, totally calm, just certain.
I was very interested in her. I was happy to have met her, happy to be going out with her for New Year's Eve, and just felt really good about it. And that's as far as I went. I had no idea that somebody had already decided to marry me.
For the rest of the school year, Jackie and Stu wrote letters to each other. Stu was in grad school in Connecticut and had no plans to come back to Ohio for the summer. So Jackie crafted a plan to go see him in Connecticut. She stayed with her cousins and got a temp job and saw Stu as much as possible.
So the summer ended, but Stu didn't ask me to marry him, which was really quite a disappointment.
But I didn't propose. I was in love with her. I was also consumed with school and finishing my degree and taking care of business.
2 months later, Stu proposed to Jackie.
On the telephone. I really don't remember doing it. I just know that that's when it happened and that we agreed to get married. And then we just figured out the soonest possible time.
We got married exactly 1 week after I graduated college.
Regardless of whether or not she begged Jackie to call Stu or the other way around, Rita takes credit for bringing the two together.
They were both supposed to pay me for my matchmaking services, which they have never done all these years. Of course, you realize the interest on this now is like the national debt.
She sent Jackie a matchmaker's bill.
I don't know if Stu saying, you know, we will give you a matchmaking fee. I don't think it was Jackie. Or if I said, I want a matchmaking fee of, I don't know, $10 or $25.
I think a fee was $25, and the fee was never paid.
And of course, I keep saying, the interest is mounting. You're not paying on the interest or the principal. And they keep promising to pay me, but they never do.
Although we know that the term Rashomon effect came from the 1950 Kurosawa film, there's no specific date in history to mark when its use in therapy was popularized. And whether or not a clinician knows the actual phrase, the concept of it is widely used.
I can tell you as a therapist and as a married person that it's just part of life, Rashomon. It comes up between me and Jackie all the time. and we'll disagree on the interpretation of what happened. I mean, it just happens all the time. But being married to Jackie, I have learned to, I've developed a great deal of trust and confidence in her perceptions of things. I think her intuitive grasp is faster than mine and deeper. And you know, I have tremendous respect for her ability to do that as a therapist. And I've also learned that usually it turns out that when we disagree about somebody else, even a friend of ours, she turns out to be right more often than I am, and I have to listen. I just have learned great respect for how she sees things. And it's probably helped me to become more aware in that area, in spite of all the clinical training.
Robert Anderson writes, "The Rashomon effect occurs where interests, culture, and power converge to fix our attention on closure, to propel us to ask for explanations and to expect to get them, and soon." Although this isn't the closure that Jackie, Rita, and Stu need to settle up on that matchmaking invoice, here's a missing piece to the story.
I remember where I was when I picked up the phone. I remember the restaurant. I remember where the restaurant was. I remember my annoyance with Rita when she called. How unready I was, totally unready, and to even begin to think about marriage, and how that turned instantly. Of course, I remember everything about being in Connecticut that summer, staying with my cousins. And
did you say you were dating someone at the time?
Well, he was a guy that I dated for a long time that I was always breaking up with.
So when did you ultimately break up with him?
Right after that summer. And I can remember where I was standing in my apartment at Ohio State. I guess he must have come to visit. And I remember my certainty in telling him, this is the last time I'll be breaking up with you.
Thank you, Jackie and Stu Cohen and Rita O'Keefe. Thank you, TJ Hurley, for being my boyfriend and for helping me out with this episode, even though you refused to sign a release form. I'm really hoping that you were joking on that one. Thanks so much to the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University. Music in this episode was by Paul DeFiglia. Please, please go and check out his website, pauldefiglia.com. Our theme song is by Ryan Cullinane. Artwork, as always, is Tom Lesner. Check out his amazing work at tomlesner.com. Nato, thank you for being a good cat and not ruining this recording of the credits. Stay tuned for more episodes of Rashomon. They're coming soon. In the meantime, subscribe, tell your friends, follow us on social media at Rashomon Pod, visit our website, rashomonpodcast.com, and if you want to, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks, and we'll see you soon.